And the reason is that it's because someone else is involved when you pray. And that someone else is the devil. And this passage, which in the NIV might be headed in your Bible, Jesus and Beelzebub. Beelzebub is simply a word, a name, a title for the devil, the prince of darkness. And that's why prayer becomes a warfare for the Christian, which it never really was before. You see, the devil doesn't have to bother with unbelievers when they pray, because they don't have faith in God. They don't use the name of Jesus as a mighty power. They don't use the power of the Holy Spirit when they pray. And so the devil's quite unfazed if an unbeliever occasionally decides to pray. But as a Christian, the truth is, you can't have much experience of the Lord without having an experience of Satan. Because as soon as you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you will become aware that there are such things as evil spirits as well. And when you do, then I'm afraid you will become aware that this world is not so much a battlefield between people, but between intelligent evil spirits and the power of God. And I really wish I could persuade people of the reality of this. I find there tends to be two extremes amongst people at the moment. There are those on the one side who will say there are no evil spirits at all. There are no demons. These occult movies that you go and see at the cinema and things like that, it's just fictional stuff to make you frightened. Demons don't exist. That when they're mentioned in the Bible, actually this is just an old-fashioned way of describing neurotic or psychotic or psychological disorders, or even a physical complaint. At the other end of the scale, I'm also finding an alarming number of people who are finding demons under every bed. And so they are trying to exorcise the common cold. And that is the opposite extreme. The truth is somewhere in between. Most physical illnesses and complaints are not demonic, and many psychological disorders are not demonic. But it does sometimes happen that demonic action can be the cause. And therefore it is very important that we discern in those situations. I think this also applies where healing is concerned, because supernatural healing can be divine or it can be demonic. And so many people fall into the trap of thinking that all spiritualist healing must be divine. Believe me, it's not. Now, in this story in Luke's Gospel, we read in verse 14 about Jesus casting out a demon that was mute, which means that in this particular case, this person's dumbness was not a natural disorder, but supernatural. You see, the fact is that the chief way in which evil spirits operate in this world is through human beings. They need our bodies. our hands, our eyes, our ears, our mouths. And therefore they are restless, they're wandering around looking for someone that they can use. Just as God is looking for those who can be the temple of his Holy Spirit and whom he can use. And so this is the spiritual conflict which we are actually caught up in. And in this particular case, a demon had struck a man dumb. And the devil can do all sorts of horrible things to people if they give him the opportunity. Even sometimes to Christians. He will do anything to prevent them from being effective Christian soldiers. To try and keep them in barracks, so to speak. And here was a man who couldn't join in a prayer meeting. Here was a person who couldn't sing a hymn. Because? Why? Well, in some way or other, we're not told, he must have opened his life to this evil spirit. Maybe by dabbling in the occult or something similar to that. But when you think about it, there are plenty of people around today who have similar symptoms, in one sense. Oh, they can gossip, rhubarb to each other on the phone or in the pub. But they would avoid a prayer meeting like the plague because they wouldn't know what to do or to say. There are those who can sing their heart out at a party on a Saturday night. But put them in church on a Sunday morning and ask them to sing Shine Jesus Shine, and suddenly they shut their mouths. And I believe that one of the aims which comes high on the devil's priority list is to shut the mouths of Christians. And you know, the devil can get hold of our tongue as much as any other part of our body. Either by making us dumb when we should be speaking, or by making us speak when we should be dumb. But when the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, one of the first things that will show it is your tongue. And that's been evident since the day of Pentecost. But here was this man, and this dumb spirit inhabiting him kept him from praying and praising God. And Jesus, we're told, set him free. But not just like that. It took power. In verse 14 it says Jesus drove it out, implying that there was resistance. There was confrontation, opposition. But the power of Jesus was stronger. And I'd like to remind you this morning that the church has been commissioned by Jesus to continue that same work, setting people free from the power of sin and from the power of the evil one. Reclaiming territory from the devil which he has no right to occupy. And we're to do it through evangelism, we're to do it through prayer, we're to do it through witness. But as soon as we move in to that area, we can expect opposition. There will be resistance, and that's why we have to be trained as Christian soldiers, as it were. We have to recognize our enemy. We have to understand his tactics. And we have to learn how to overcome that opposition with the power that the Lord himself supplies. God wants his church to be a spiritual army. And there's no earthly point singing Onward Christian Soldiers unless we're prepared to be that. In verse 21, Jesus speaks of the devil as being a strong man. He's stronger than anyone here in church this morning. And he has weapons and he holds people in his sway. He's a strong man. That means don't ever try and tackle the devil in your own strength. You won't win. But Jesus went on to say, this strong man, as long as he has his weapons, can keep his goods safe. But when the stronger man comes, and the Greek here puts it as the stronger man, then he can spoil the strong man's goods. And the strong man is the devil, although he has many lesser demons with him. But there is only one stronger man than the devil. The stronger man is the Lord Jesus. And you'll never beat the devil unless Jesus is with you. Call on the stronger man, because you're no match for this sort of thing by yourself. Now, having used that little illustration or parable, Jesus then speaks of two dangers. And there are two awful dangers in this whole area of spiritual conflict. You see, the battle in Britain today is not between the government and radical Islam. It's not between rich and poor. It is not between capitalism and socialism. It's not between Brexit and the Remainers, or between Labour and the Tories. The real war in Britain is between the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of evil spirits, who are not human, but supernatural, and evil forces are trying to wreak havoc in this country at the moment. And it's that warfare that's really causing the problems. But it's happening in the spiritual world, and isn't that evident tangibly in the physical world? But you see, the real enemies are not people. We keep thinking it's them, don't we? We thought it was Hitler and the Germans in the Second World War. And then after that was the North Koreans, and then it was the Vietnamese. More recently it's been Osama bin Laden. Now it's ISIS. And even now President Trump. We go on thinking it's people. But it's nothing of the kind. Satan is the real cause of warfare, strife. And that is why you can't have real peace until Jesus comes again, when he's going to defeat, ultimately, the forces of evil. The Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, our warfare is not, repeat not, with flesh and blood. It's not with things that we can see and feel and touch. But there are invisible powers, invisible forces that stand behind what we see in the world around us. And that is what we've got to deal with. Well, you might think, well, how in the world do we do that? It's one thing to deal with visible institutions and organizations. It's one thing to deal with flesh and blood people. But how do you deal with those invisible and intangible forces that are behind them? There is only one way. What is that way? Well, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, praying always in the Spirit. He writes it actually as a participle. What he's saying very simply is that prayer is the battlefield. Prayer is the warfare. The only way that you can combat these invisible powers of darkness is through prayer. It's the only way you can do it. You're not going to change anything by the ballot box, or by protesting, or by marching down the street in a demonstration. You won't change things by dropping bombs on Damascus or wherever. You may change what is visible, but what is visible is not the real problem, is it? It's the invisible where the problem lies. What you see around you is not the actual reality. What you do not see is the reality. What we see, the visible, is not really the problem. It's the things that we do not see, the invisible spiritual world. So the final reality is not what you see, it's what you don't see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul makes this very clear. He says, we do not lose heart. Why? Because we do not focus, we do not look upon the things that are seen, but on what's unseen. Let me tell you something. If you want to lose heart and give up, then just concentrate on the things that are seen. Those of you who are in the bus pass generation might remember an American newscaster called Walter Cronkite. Any of you remember him? Yeah. He used to end his newscast every night with these words, and that's the way it is. Or, that's the way things are. It sounds clever, but what he ought to have been saying was, and that is the way things appear to be in the physical world. But that's not really the way things are. Because what you see is not the final reality. Paul says he doesn't focus on the things which he can see, because those things are temporal, they're passing, they're not permanent. It's the things that are unseen that are eternal. And there is such a great need for Christians today to recognize that. If all you do is watch TV and read the newspaper, you'll end up just wringing your hands in despair. You'll say, we're losing the battle. Everything's terrible. The world's going to pot. We need to stop doing that. You know, we hear a lot at the moment, don't we, about fake news or alternative facts. That has actually always been the case. There are a whole lot of facts and truths that the world and the media don't tell you, so you don't get the full picture. And there are spiritual realities that the world is not even aware of, which is why prayer is the battle. That's where the war is fought, in prayer. And that's why I think many Christians, many churches are not winning the war. It's because we're possibly doing everything else but praying. Prayer is probably one of the most talked about things in the church and Christian experience, but the least practiced. Because what I'm talking about here in terms of prayer is not simply just bowing your head and thanking God for that and say, Lord, please do this, and Lord, it would be lovely if you would do the other. Very often there needs to be a battle. There is a wrestling. Remember how in the Old Testament Jacob fought with God all night? Wrestling with God. There needs to be a fighting in prayer. You're not actually fighting God, but against the invisible powers of darkness. That is a very real thing. We don't like to think about it. We don't want to talk much about it. But it's a very real thing. Now, I know it is easy to go overboard on this. But the Bible does teach there is a battle going on in the heavenly places between the angels of the Lord and the angels of the devil. And our prayer and fasting and intercessions will influence the outcome in our world. And there are two significant dangers in the spiritual battle we're involved in as Christians. The first is of remaining neutral, because you can't. So many ordinary people today would say, well, I don't mind being a Christian, but I don't want to be involved in any kind of battle, any kind of warfare. I'm not into militancy or anything like that. None of us are. But it's unavoidable. Jesus said in verse 23, if you look at that, essentially, you can't sit on the fence. If you are not for me, you are against me. There is no fence to sit on. There is no neutrality in this struggle and warfare. If you're not helping to gather, then Jesus says you're scattering. You cannot be a conscientious objector as a Christian in terms of the spiritual warfare. If you're not seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not solidly lined up with Christ, then Jesus says, frankly, you're on the side of the evil forces, whether you're conscious of it or not. There's no neutral ground. And then the second danger that Jesus mentioned is of emptying out of your life the evil, but without replacing it with good. He says it's not enough to have the house spring cleaned, swept, whitewashed, made clean, because a new tenant must be introduced as well. The Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know that Lent is a time when many Christians do a little bit of spiritual spring cleaning, as it were. Can I say that that spring cleaning will not benefit you in the slightest unless it's accompanied by a surrender to the Holy Spirit? I'm sure you know from studying science in your school days that nature abhors a vacuum. And if you clean the sin and the evil out of your life, but you don't replace it with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then what you've thrown out will just be drawn back in again. Perhaps in a different form, but Jesus says here, you're worse off than you were before. Why? Well, because at very least, your heart grows harder to the gospel message. And you think, oh, well, I tried that before, it doesn't work. It only lasted a few months. But let's thank God this morning that there is one who is stronger than Satan, and that the stronger man sits on the throne of the universe. And he is the friend of sinners, Jesus, the Son of God. Powerful as the devil may be, he was overcome by the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And as Christian soldiers, we can share in that victory today, in our own lives, in our own experience. In the letter of James, it says that in the power of the name of Jesus, Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't let the devil keep you in barracks. Don't allow him to shut your mouth so that you are spiritually dumb. But in the words of the Apostle Paul, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because he is the stronger man. And then our church will become the spiritual army that God wants it to be. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we do worship you, we praise you and honour you as the stronger man. Hallelujah. And we realise that the Christian life is a battle. It is a warfare. And we confess now that through our own failings, through our own sinfulness, we may have lost many rounds in that battle. So we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will give us the victory that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we give you all the glory. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing number 735, if you're using the books. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Talks about the spiritual battle that we're in.